Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer System. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And, of course, we are broadcasting live over at Facebook and over at WTIC's Facebook page. And feel free to join us there. And if you want to post a comment or question there, we'll try to bring it up on the air as well for you. And anytime you post a comment or question or share on Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg deems it worthy. And so he'll allow folks to then see it. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's a good thing these days with social media, but that's how this whole thing works. And so feel free to like, comment, and share it as well. So we've got some technology news for you. And, you know, this is, you know, pandemic, right? It's been going on, even though here in Connecticut, the curve is flat as a pancake and I can't see an emergency anywhere. But according to what Amazon was doing during the crisis, there's a consumer watchdog group that said Amazon increased its pricing for all sorts of essential items by over 1,000%.
Gouging?
Yes.
Not Amazon.
No, they always say they're the cheapest place on the planet to buy things, which I have not found to be true. Feel free to do your research. Amazon is not always the lowest price. And you don't even know where you're getting your stuff from in the first place.
Oh, I know where it's coming from.
Well, there is that. There is that, Bob. But you're looking at things like they were, you know, it found a pack of 8 rolls of toilet paper back in, you know, for $36 back in June. That's kind of a nutty price, whereas retailers would have charged just $6 for the same product.
Well, I would have said it's a crappy price, but
yeah, 36 versus 6. A bottle of antibacterial soap was listed as high as $7, but normally it's only $1.49, an increase of 470%. So be careful out there. Amazon is not the cheapest price. It's convenient. Don't get me wrong.
Well, the guy didn't become a billionaire for nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't by accident either. So take face masks. Here's another one they had here. Public Citizen's Report highlights an alarming 1,000% increase in the price from around $4 to $39 for a pack of 50 masks sold by Amazon. Thanks, Amazon. Keeping your customers safe at 1,000% margins.
They care about you.
technology. This is the company that we had talked about for almost, I don't know, 15, 20 years, not even making a profit. I guess they figured out how to do it.
Well, no, they're dumping it back into the company. So, yeah.
So be aware of that. It's something to be, you know, be concerned about. Just keep an eye on your pricing. You know, do some research. It's easy to take a look at other places for prices.
Well, those all-electric delivery vehicles that they're buying cost money, you know.
That's true,
pay for
yeah.
Them somehow.
Those Mercedes, electric Mercedes are going to be expensive. And I saw also a concept where they had this huge helium balloon, right? Hot air balloon. And big powered thing like a Goodyear blimp, but not. And they were dispatching packages out of drones that were flying out of the bottom of the balloon. creepy, crazy looking thing. But it, hey, if it works.
And yeah, we read an article on that a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. They were always, they've been planning. I mean, guys that have been complaining about their routes and all upset that Amazon's not paying them enough to deliver the packages. Well, pretty soon you're not going to deliver the packages anyways. It's going to be automated and you're not going to have a job there. Yeah. They're going to automate it. So what do you got for technology news, Bob?
There's a little car, and we'll put a link up to it.
A very little car.
This is a CNET Roadshow article.
Yeah.
This little electric car costs just $4,200.
Really?
Yeah, but it's only sold in China.
Of course.
Under the Wuling brand, a General Motors division, it actually outsold the Tesla Model 3.
Of course it did. With that $4,200 versus $43,000. That's easy.
Model 3, yes. So, they sold over 15,000 of these little cars.
Yeah.
And the Model 3 sold 11,500. I think it was in that range.
Oh, they're both pretty
small. It's very small. They're saying that it's even smaller than a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, which is pretty small.
I would say it's probably smaller than a Smart Car, which is even smaller.
Yeah, this thing is basically a couple of chairs on wheels.
I don't know.
But it'll go 192 miles on a charge?
190 miles on a charge, yep. So, but for $4,200,
yeah.
I wonder if it has AC.
I don't know. If you turn the AC on, how far can you go? 50 miles? I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure China gave General Motors a real good deal on building those in China. So,
yeah.
Well, they're selling, but for $4,200, what are you going to buy in this country for $4,200? You can't buy a motorcycle for that.
You can't buy a good road bike, like a 10-speed bicycle for that. How can GM make any money at $4,200 a pop?
Well, maybe.
I mean, their health insurance costs for $15,000 a car. Oh, it's made in China. That's right.
They don't have health insurance
in China.
They don't have paid holidays.
No.
And they don't have to work 8 hours a day. They can work them 24 hours
true.
A day, 7 days a week.
That's true. All right. Well, they got
25 cents an hour.
They got cheap cars there in China. $4,200. I can't imagine it's going to last very long. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, we won't see.
No. I mean, if it comes to America, but I mean, I think it'd be just like, you know, I'd be scared to
There's
death to
no
drive
way.
It on the highway.
The government would regulate it right off the road.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just probably a little tin can on wheels. In other news, there's some other news about Amazon again here. There's some reviews that are raising some red flags about the safety of Amazon's line of electronics and appliances. Items from microwaves to charging cables have been catching fire, melting, or exploding, according to a CNN investigation. Amazon counters that its products meet current safety standards. So again, whether you love them or hate them, they're trying to come up with their own brands of hardware or durable goods and electronics and what have you. And they may not be setting proper standards. They say they meet standards, but that's a whole different thing as far as quality goes. We've always heard the issues of, you know, lithium batteries exploding no matter what company they're coming from. But here, according to CNN, there have been around 1,500 reviews since 2016 describing more than 70 Amazon Basics products as sparking, smoking, melting, catching fire, exploding, or causing electrical malfunctions. Of those items, around 30 remain on sale. Well, we've already talked about the fact that even banned children's games and products are still on sale, you know, for Christmas or the holidays. Amazon does not do a very good job of policing third parties. Now it's got issues with its own products, too. So they have more than 50 reviews about a power bank overheating, 25 reports about a space heater overheating, sparking, or burning. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of Amazon haters out there. I'm not a big fan of Amazon either as far as what they've done. I'm not sure they're necessarily a savings. I just ordered a lawnmower filter. A lawnmower filter yesterday for $8. That's going to be delivered to me today. That just doesn't seem logistically cheaper than if I hopped in the car and went to a local store to pick up this $8 item. You know, to have some guy take it off a shelf, put it in its own cardboard box, cover it with plastic bubble, pop it in a mailer, have the guy drive it to my home. That's ridiculously expensive. So, of course, they got to sell their own stuff and they gotta, you know, crank up the price of toilet paper. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah. But for an $8 filter, I'm gonna get it today. Thanks, Amazon. So just be wary of what you're buying.
Sometimes you can find things on Amazon you can't find anywhere else. That's the one.
Really?
I see. Yeah.
Hmm. I haven't been so lucky. Usually the most basic of things I need, I can't find. That's just my bad
luck.
I'm
just saying, not saying everything. I'm
no,
just
yeah.
saying some things.
Yep.
It's either them or Walmart.
Sure, sure. So be careful what you're buying out there. Do you want to bring up anything else?
We could talk about the Tesla Cybertruck. Anybody interested in that?
I'm not sure. I'm not a big truck guy, but it...
Well, it's really ugly in my view, but, mm-hmm. you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's a Tesla.
Yep.
So anyway, construction, it's Tesla Cybertruck's Austin factory could go live next May.
Oh, they're not building in California?
No. No, actually, they're building this new factory to take some of the stress off of the California factory
mm-hmm.
because that's overloaded.
Yeah.
So they're going to build this truck there.
Good.
And they're also going to later start building some more Model 3s there.
Right. I think Elon wants to shut down the California plant due to how it was treated through this whole COVID thing and just, well, Hotel
you know,
California is getting a little tough.
When you shut down and you can't make money.
Yeah, yeah. It's not good. So, all right. So when is it going to fire up? Did they tell you?
So it could go live next May.
All right.
So they've got this going out for documents, and they're expecting to have this May 21st is when they want the substantial completion date. But what that means is the finished construction won't be done,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be done enough for them to occupy it and actually start production. But they'll be doing the finishing touches.
I mean, they've been building cars when they first started under tents. I mean, they were put up like temporary factories. Elon's like, let's start building. Let's go. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a good article.
Yeah.
And it's kind of short, but it's got a nice, neat picture of their truck.
Yeah, it looks like the old DeLorean.
I don't know.
Aluminum.
I thought the DeLorean was much better looking.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
And it was stainless steel.
Yeah, DeLorean was.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Anyway, yep.
Good luck to Tesla. We're going to step out for a quick break. I'm not sure who's on the line yet. We'll refresh our screen to find out. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Of course, if you're on Facebook, you can follow us there over on WTIC's Facebook page. We are broadcasting live. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. There's three lines open for you. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, but we're here to help you out. Your pasty white computer geeks inside, not enjoying the sunshine like you are. Feel free to get online and we'll do our best. We're sitting here in the hermetically sealed East Hartford studios during the completely and utterly flat curve that we have achieved, and we're still somehow dealing with this issue. Speaking of this, so in my own personal life, had to get a checkup with the doctor, and had to get some blood work done, as you would do as normal practice. And of course, she wants to talk to me about the results of the blood work. And what do you do with that now, Bob? Telemedicine. Telemedicine. It's a great thing, isn't it?
Well, you can do social distancing better that way.
Well, you sure can. The problem is, as opposed to when you go to the doctor's office, and, you know, we got a lot of docs that are clients, a lot of friends that are doctors. You go to the doctor's office, you know, you're scheduled for your appointment at, let's say, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, we both know there is no way that doctor is going to see me at 10 o'clock. We know that. Everyone knows that, right? It's just not going to happen. We just accept it. We are held hostage. Our time is not as valuable as theirs, and we are going to sit there and wait until the doctor's ready. That's fine. So maybe 10:20, 10:30, they apologize.
Ish.
They get you into the room, and you do what you got to do to disrobe, and you're sitting on the table there for another 20 minutes or whatever. You know, the doctor will mosey in and start doing their thing. Well, with telemedicine, you know, they schedule a call. Now, a phone call would have been great for me, but because of telemedicine, they want to do a face-to-face through your phone. Okay, fine. So schedule it for 10:30. Well, 45 minutes later, I'm driving somewhere now. It's too late. they're reaching out to me trying to hook up and say, hey, let's do our teleconference. So, I mean, I got to hit the old text-to-speech and, you know, try to text back. Well, it's not a two-way communication. When they tell you they're ready, you try to text back and say, well, look, I'm driving. I can't do it now.
Yeah.
They're not getting anything back. Then they hit you again with an invite. I'm like, it's 45 minutes later. I can't do this.
You don't understand. You got to do this on doctor time, well, that's not on real time.
Well, my point is this. This telemedicine thing, because of COVID and all this, is going to be cool, right? It's great if you have an issue and you want to call a bank of doctors. And technically, they'll probably be in the third world because they're available. So you'll be hitting your bank of doctors and they'll help you remotely with your immediate issue. But if you want to schedule an appointment, I mean, historically, doctors don't really hit those times. Again, nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. We've accepted it as a society. But with telemedicine, you can't be expecting the person to sit around for 45 minutes and do nothing until you're ready. You know, your appointment could start anywhere from 10:30 to noon. Who knows when they're going to hit you?
Just like the cable company.
They'll give you a window, right? So your doctor's going to give you a window. And so the thing is about this, it's so inefficient. I'm trying to respond back to the poor doctor. I mean, she's doing her best. I'm not holding her responsible for the problem of telemedicine, but she's trying to do her best and get me. Of course, by then she's got to go do something else. She's missed her window. She's got to go to either see another patient or do a meeting or whatever it's going to be. Then the doctor herself is reaching out to me. Hey, can we reschedule this and try to get this after this time or that time? And we try, and of course she misses again. And then the office is calling and trying to reschedule. Oh, let's try for this time, this day. I'm like, I tried
now,
to.
Now they couldn't just put it in an email and send it to you.
No, it's a lots of calls and back and forth and texting. I'm like, well, if you just hit your spot, you know, all I'm saying is you want to rethink your model. I know having, you know, four or five people stuck in four or five different rooms all at the same time allows you to hit 20 minutes per person, and you knock off, you get to, you know, triple bill or something
Yeah, Dr. Factory.
But I don't know about you guys out there with this whole telemedicine thing. I mean, I'm a guy. I don't go to the doctor enough as it is. It's not my thing. I'm, you know, I'll just wait until I croak probably before I have to go see the doctor. But in this case, if you're trying to make it easier, you're not.
Yeah.
Technology is not helping. And I can't have two-way communication with the doctor when they're saying, hey, I'm ready for your appointment. Oh, great. I'm in the road. I can't help you. So we'll see what this all turns out to be, but it hasn't been fun for me. Just trying to make a simple appointment to hear about my blood work. She could have called me and left me a voicemail. Hey, Eric, you know, your triglycerides are that, or you're too high over here, you know, cut off
chips. This is
what
it should be. I mean,
I don't need to have some big conversation, but of course they bill differently. Voicemail is probably a different billing code than actually having a telemedical appointment.
When they actually talk to you, they can bill you for the time, but if they email it through you, they can't bill you for that.
Right.
Or they can bill you for it, but I don't know how they would do that. They got to come up with a new model.
Well, you'd think with artificial intelligence, she could actually put the data of my blood work into the system and just have the computer tell me, you know, just like you would when you go get your pool chemicals tested, they tell you how much alkalinity you got to put in, how much soda ash you got to put in. In this case, hey, your triglycerides are up, cut out that cheeseburger, look away from that, you know, onion ring.
Yeah, but see, with artificial intelligence, it might start learning things, and it might just say, you know, Eric, we were looking at your test results, and you're going to die.
Right. Well, they wouldn't be, their bedside manner won't be so good. But I just figured I'd bring that up. We're going to be here. We're going to take a quick break. We're coming up near the bottom of the hour. Get some calls in here. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you want to post anything over at computertalkwithtab.com, over at the WTIC Facebook page, we are live. Have you had any telemedicine excitement? Has it worked for you? I mean, with the COVID going on, you know, everyone's trying to stay away from everybody. I'm sure I'm not the only guy doing telemedicine. You know, go ahead and post your comment about telemedicine and the technology that's supposed to be out there to get us through. Has it been convenient, or has it been just a problem as far as what I was dealing with? We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online during the news, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Then Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. That's radio medicine. But you heard about my telemedicine story. I don't know if you guys have had any stories as far as that technology these days, how it's worked out for you or not worked out for you. Be interested to hear. Obviously, the technology is a good thing, but you can't schedule a doctor appointment electronically and expect them to show up. I guess that was my first foolishness. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you this lovely Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. The 800 number will pick up the tab no matter where you are in the country listening on the stream, or if you're over at radio.com or whatever you're listening to us through, we can take your call that way as well. Let's go to our resident groupie, Danny. Hey, Danny, good morning.
Listen, my wife's going to buy a new PC.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about a Hewlett-Packard.
Yep.
And just wondering any specific specs that it should have.
For your wife, I mean, we always talk about the Elite. The Elite X2 is a very small flavor. I like the Elite X2. But the Envy line is great for consumers.
I'm sorry, a desktop, you know, a regular, not a laptop, a desktop.
Oh, a desktop. All right, that's cool. Yeah, we still sell tons of those, too. We don't do HP, though. The basic spec, then, would be an i5 minimum CPU.
Okay.
8 gigs of RAM minimum.
Uh-huh.
And a solid-state drive would be nice.
Okay, SSD.
Yep. And those are the basics. I mean.
Okay. Listen, she's got a monitor that's 8 years old and wireless keyboard. We got to replace those too, right?
You don't have to.
Oh, okay.
If they work.
Those new monitors that have a slight curve to them are easier on your eyes?
I'm not sure.
Some of them are. Depends on the resolution. I've seen some of them that are great. And some of them are so-so. So I would go into the big box store and check them out first.
Yeah.
Right. Now, can you get into Best Buy and stuff now, or are they?
I would hope so, for crying out loud.
Yeah, okay.
I would hope so. I mean, I think I would, I don't know these days, Danny, but yes, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can.
I think at one point in time you had to make an appointment to go.
Oh, you know what? I can tell you for certain, because we had to pick up a TV for my son. So yes, you can. You can go.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Have you seen the new SpaceX info on the Starlink, some of their speeds and stuff?
You know, I have seen some of that stuff out there, sure. And again, you know, it's going to be a neat technology, but it's going to be just the skies are going to be littered with these low-flying satellites. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It doesn't seem like a good thing to me.
Okay, so you're worried about satellite traffic too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the technology's neat. I mean, I guess, you know, the speeds are pretty good.
100 megabits, they got latencies down in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, 100 megabits, not gigabits.
No, I meant megabits. No,
yeah.
No, not gigabits.
Yeah, 100 megabits isn't bad. But again, I mean, how many people are you going to actually cover? Is it going to work for how many people are going to be able to connect well?
Everybody,
you think
everybody
so?
Everybody, everywhere.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, you can do internet over electrical lines, too. So, I mean, if these people have power to power your laptop, you could get electricity from your power company. I mean, internet from your power company if they wanted to do that.
Okie dokie.
why do we got to check all these satellites in the air? I'm not a fanboy, although I do like Elon more and more. He's done a tremendous job with our money to build some pretty amazing companies.
Okay. Over and out.
All right, take it easy, Danny.
He's actually making a profit now. So.
Oh, yeah, he's doing well. Again, their stock was crazy. I mean, you actually had a story. You want to bring that up? Because we're still waiting for calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC.
I think that's on the bottom of the
522-WTIC. Yeah, you were going to bring up Elon and Tesla's stock going crazy.
Oh, yeah, here we go. All right. Yeah, I got him here.
He just passed it, yeah. Bobby just passed it right here. I'll bring it up. Tesla's stock drops 20%, 21% in a single day after not being added to the S&P 500. But it's been rocketing. The shares have ballooned in value around 300%. And for a long time, it showed no signs of slowing down. And I mean, we've all been watching Tesla stock, and obviously it's been great. I mean, it's been really going crazy. But didn't S&P kind of thought about it and said, we're not so sure we're going to have them on the S&P. And when it did that, it dropped. It had a huge drop.
Maybe he should go to the NASDAQ.
Yeah, that's where it should be.
Those are where the technology stocks are.
I agree. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, Tesla's going to see a lot more competition. And I think the more competition we get out there, that's great. We're going to have more choices in our vehicles, more electric vehicles. And you talked about, too, about how they're going to maybe not change the models for maybe 10 years instead of 5.
Yeah, I got an article on that. Future cars may live a lot longer, analysts believe.
Right.
Now, this is also a CNET article.
Yeah.
Future cars, vehicle life cycles are typically about 5 years with updates sprinkled in, but the lifespan could double to 10 years. Now, I will tell you, many years ago, the lifespan of a model was 3 years. I can remember that.
Yeah.
And then they would do a complete change.
Right.
So, and then they upped it to 5, you know, because it costs a lot of money to redo the
all the retooling, yeah. Change all the plastic on your bumpers.
Not just the plastic, but the sheet metal, the stamping.
Sure. Oh, is there any metal left in cars?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, so we know the song and dance. A new vehicle arrives, it undergoes some typical mild changes a few years, and then a new generation arrives after 5 years or so.
Right.
It's basically how the modern car industry operates.
Sure.
Because new and fresh cars sell, future cars, however, may live a whole lot longer before they're being replaced outright.
I like it.
That's the consensus from analysts who spoke during the Society of Automotive Analysts webinar on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Ward's Auto reported on how things could shift in the years to come, especially as more electric cars hit the roads.
Right.
Since EVs will essentially be immune to emissions regulations, there's even less of an incentive for automakers to make big changes.
Right.
Couple the zero emissions powertrain with the emergence of over-the-air updates, and the idea of a 10-year vehicle life cycle doesn't seem incredibly outrageous.
Sounds good. You're going to have to pay a lot for your antivirus, though, for your car.
Tesla is a great example. The Model S continues to soldier on with few substantial changes to the interior and exterior after 8 years.
Yep.
Yes, the cars received a succession of new battery technology along the way, mm-hmm. but the Model S on sale today looks a lot like the Model S sold years back. The sedan did receive a slight freshening, which notably deleted the grille,
yeah.
but otherwise, it hangs on to the same basic style. Meanwhile, owners still receive numerous new features via over-the-air updates to keep the car feeling fresh.
Sure.
Over-the-air updates...
Just like our Windows computers. Every time it's updated, we feel fresher.
Oh, yeah. Over-the-air updates were long a Tesla-only kind of thing, but today, even the 2021 Ford F-150 will include the technology.
Sure.
The longer life cycles analyst forecasts will also likely save the automaker money and reserve resources for other areas, such as self-driving technology.
Awesome.
That's not to say every automaker will suddenly take this kind of approach. Plenty of cars need attention more than others,
such as
sports cars.
Oh, definitely. All right.
There's
so
more.
We'll put it out there as a link for you guys to check out, but it does make sense. You got a bunch of calls coming in. Let's go into your calls here. We're going to go to Richard first in Rhode Island. What's going on, Richard? You there, Richard?
Hello.
Hello. What can we do for you?
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
I enjoy your show a lot, and I've been listening to you for a long time, and I know you've gone through this time and time again, so maybe you're sick of it, but I looked
Never.
Through the archives, and I wasn't able to find a reference. They don't go back as far as I remember, apparently. So I got a problem with, I have 3 Mac computers that I want to back up. I've been doing it for years on the Time Machine and the Airport Time Capsule, couple terabytes, and... that thing is broken down for somehow, and I've did a hard reset, and it continues to ask to do an initial backup.
Oh, boy.
And although I do get a backup, it just doesn't seem to be, just adding to what I had, and keeps on asking for me to start all over again.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking, just out of frustration, that, something's broken, it's time to start all over again, and I don't know what you would recommend. I kind of like the idea of a Wi-Fi connect and update, because I'm kind of lazy and I like to have it go on in the background, and I don't know what you suggest. So that's why I'm here calling you and asking you about.
Yeah, sure. How old's the Apple Time Machine you were using?
Oh, let me see. I would say several years old.
Okay, like five, six, more than half a decade. Yeah, so backup technology is a wonderful thing, but it's just as problematic as the initial technology you're backing up. And so, of course, the hardware can fail, the software can have issues. Re-imaging is not an uncommon practice, even with what we do for our clients. We back up file servers and virtual systems constantly, and every now and again, the initial image has to be redone for all sorts of reasons. And in your case, you're experiencing a similar scenario. So Apple products generally are expensive, but the Time Machine did work and does work really well when it works. So if you are mostly an Apple shop, I'd recommend sticking with Apple because it's what you know, and it just could be that your device has finally failed. The only drawback with Apple is you're going to pay a premium. I mean, even if, as we know on the Apple Store, just having an app there is a 30% whack. So you're going to pay a VIG there for the Apple. We call it the Apple tax. but when it works, it works really well.
I do like their connectivity, and I have to say that you know, between devices and, I used to be the PC shop when I was working, and now as I retired, you know, it's just far more convenient for me to be in an Apple shop. So
yeah.
I've been paying that premium for a while, and I'm kind of used to it, but I do like the results.
Yeah.
And so I'm not adverse to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, just based on your history and what you're doing, I think you should consider replacing your device. And with what you know, another Time Machine level device, which, again, I don't play with enough myself because I'm not an Apple shop.
Yeah.
But that's the direction I would recommend you head because you're familiar with it. You know it works when it does work. And this is just probably an example of an old machine. Now, knowing Apple, they might even offer you a trade-in, trade-up type of approach to what you have. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, at the time, two terabytes was, you know, more than enough, and it still is. I've never exceeded that that in my own home needs.
Mm-hmm.
But so you're just saying, take the actual what do they call it? The airport time capsule, which is the 2 terabyte storage device, and just find a replacement for that.
Correct, but I look for larger size.
Update.
I look for larger size.
Course, yeah.
Yeah. 2 terabytes has been great for you, but it's going to continue. You're going to do videos that are going to be in 4K. You're going to do all sorts of things with pictures. You need more space, and space is fairly cheap.
Yeah, no, it is. Okay. Well, that's. I was just looking into, do I, you know, connect some other G-Tech device to it or not? And I said, well, why don't I give you guys a call and see what you think?
Yeah,
okay,
appreciate
great.
It, Richard. Thanks for listening out there in Rhode Island.
All right. Hey, yeah, just a quick story. I had been, as a young child, I was living in the neighborhood where your offices are. And I remember that as being the Cooney's Garage. And it was a quite interesting time in my childhood because they brought all the great wrecks in there.
Oh, okay, yeah, because we right here in East Hartford, you mean?
Street,
yeah. Yeah, Bissell, yeah. The building that we're in now used to be a plumbing supply house when we picked it up. And
right.
It had shag carpeting everywhere in about 80 million bathrooms. Like they practiced making bathrooms in the plumbing house here. We had a bathroom for every person.
Well, but, before that, it was the local garage and in East Hartford, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a neat building. Right. Well, that's cool. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, bye.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. So David, Carol, Jack, hang on. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. A couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Of course, we're also broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Jack in Middletown next. What's going on, Jack?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Real quick question, I hope.
Yeah?
I want to fax some documents, but I don't have a landline anymore.
Yeah.
Can I do it through Wi-Fi? Or through my browser?
Well, Wi-Fi and landline are just two different methods of networking, so that really doesn't have anything to do with it. But you can do it through your browser using a product called eFaxing.
Ah.
Now, I don't know if you can if you can use their service in a temporary fashion, because it sounds like you just want to do it for this one thing.
Yeah, actually, just a but it's probably a paid program, huh?
You're going to pay for it, yeah, but maybe it's a monthly thing where you only do it once.
Well, I have a question. A fax basically is a scan,
right?
That you send over to another machine that kind of prints it out. So would it be feasible to just make a copy, or if you have an electronic copy, then just attach it to an email?
Right.
Ah, well, I do have an all-in-one printer with no ink, of course.
So you have a hard copy you're talking about right now, Jack, huh?
Yeah, I want to get it to a certain agency that I really, it's real difficult to get to, and I don't want to wait in line, you know what I mean?
So your all-in-one printer may be able to scan it to a folder?
Right.
And if you can scan it to a folder, you could attach that to an email, and then off it goes.
Oh, that's an even simpler way. I appreciate that. Sounds great.
Yeah, the other thing you could consider, but be wary of the risks, is you could take a picture of it on your phone. Right?
Now,
and that would make a picture of the document. And understand, though, that if that document has sensitive information, it could end up in the cloud on your backup of your phone. So keep that in mind.
Right, right. Now, my question is, on the other end, it's a phone number, obviously.
Is it obvious? they may have a way to email it, though.
Yeah, I'd have to ask them, yeah.
So you're telling me are you sending something to DMV?
Close. The state of Connecticut, it's a long story.
That's okay.
With their legal documents.
Okay, well, being that they're the state of Connecticut, I know they use 40-year-old systems to deal with their labor benefits and stuff like that, but faxing should have gone away at the Dodo, so you might have a way to send an email with an attachment, maybe. I know it's the state. Carrier pigeon is an option here in this revolutionary state.
I'll think about that. That was my last question. Is faxing really gone? I was really surprised when they said fax us, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's I'm not surprised it's the state telling you that, but it should be something, a thing of the past. I mean, e-faxing. So the state's fax could be an e-fax where it turns into an email. The problem is you can't email to a phone number. So you'd have to use a service called e-faxing to even have that work. So they must offer you a way to email it, I would hope.
Yeah, I'll have to double check on that. Okay, that answers my question. I appreciate that.
All right, Jack, good luck.
I think the fax should have gone the way of the teletype years ago.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, for them to tell them to fax it.
Well, Twix it.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh, you don't even remember that technology, do you?
What?
Where they had the little machine that sat in the corner with the little yellow ribbon that had the little holes punched out of it.
Nope.
And that's how companies used to send orders back and forth. It was before fax, even.
Wow. No, I'm not that old, Bob. I'm old enough, but we're not that old.
You know how to use a dial phone, right?
Yes, I do. At our house, we had the rotary phone. Dial phone, and your finger got hurt. You know, you would get all tired and beat up as you called your buddies. I remember those days. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Thankfully, we're living in the year 2020, where our work state is still using faxes. Get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And of course, if you've had any issues with telemedicine with this new COVID scenario, how's that working out for you? Did you have the same scenario I did? I'd love to hear your telemedicine story. I don't have to hear your actual diagnosis, but the process, how did it go for you? We'll be right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.